won't cost you anything. In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen. Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
How you doing, John? All right?
I'm fine, fine.
Thanks. Right, now then, talk the walk. This is one of it's the only reason I'm on air these days, I reckon. I mean, the show is so poor, but it's like they always say, well, actually, there's about 25 minutes a week that's worth listening to, and you're it. So where are we going from, John?
Well, we're going to start off tonight at the upper end of Lower Regent Street, just at the junction of German Street.
Right.
We will. So, I mean, we've got, which we all know is that wonderful, fine, gent outfitter street, isn't it? To the left-hand side.
I bought so many fantastic clothes down there. For hardly any money at all, you know.
Especially now.
I mean, yeah. Weirdly enough, though, most of the shops down there, all their sales were the same price as they were in the middle of the season.
Hmm.
You know, because they've cut them they've cut themselves right to the bone.
Yeah, there's no further to go.
No. Four shirts for 100 quid, £25 a shirt. Now, in some places, you pay sort of like £130 for a shirt. Ain't even a patch on the ones you get down there.
Yeah.
Although you have to be careful. There's a couple of shops down there where there was one shop walked down. There was a scarf. I thought, oh, I like that scarf. And because I don't mind, you know, dressing a bit snappy. Mm. So I've gone in there and there's these lovely socks, like, you know, paisley type socks. Oh, have a look at those. 144 quid for a pair.
Yes.
Got out of there quick. I tell you what, they were starting to mill around me. I thought
it's
myself.
It's all lost leader, isn't it? Get you in with the scarf.
Yeah. Well, no, there was no prices on any of it. So I thought, oh, I'll have a look, see how much that is. £144 for a pair of socks. I might go in there again and just have a look at how much the suit
I mean, cost. I'm always impressed with the travel luggage in Dunhill's down there. You know, it's.
Although there are many other shops that John's not impressed with.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, there are just some stunning shops around.
Yeah.
Really are. I mean,
I love that because what also I love about German Street. Is it's old London.
Well, it is. I mean, and I'll tell you what you'll see now, where we're standing. We are, there's a cab rank to the, you'll see Lillywhite's, the side of the building. There's a cab rank just there. Now, if you look straight up in front of you, you'll know it's an old building that was boarded up recently. It's now completely renovated. I think it might be a Cornell Insurance, an old building. Beautiful green, that green dome. And there she sits, Britannia.
Yeah.
She's with the trident in her hand. And it's just perfection, this building. It really is. I was going to head that way tonight, but I was, you know, you got to be careful. Like, if you're a bit pushed for time around heading up that particular.
And you know the back doubles, don't you?
Well, no, it's went Park Lane. Yeah. It's a big back double, isn't it? To me, like Brookgate. But no, it's it stands out when you're walking up or you're driving up Lower Regent Street. You'll notice this building. It's lit up. It's just looking. It's perfection. A beautiful building brought back to its former glory. But what you will also notice now at this junction is the immense light. You can't see why, but the immense light that's shooting out all around you. And it's just there. And there's, because you're in the heart of London, there is an energy, a buzz anyway.
Yeah.
Even on a bad night, there's something going on. But the light then at Piccadilly Circus, before you actually see the lights, you can feel that energy. You see it glowing. It's light in the sky up above. And then it keeps changing colour, the different adverts. I mean, I'd hate to think what the electricity bill are for the audience.
And the weird thing is in Times Square in New York, the lights there, it must be 10 times the amount, but it hasn't got the feel of it. You know, it's really buzzy in Times Square. You know, the amount of those big moving billboards is incredible. I mean, it's quite staggering, but it doesn't feel as powerful as that bit. You know, when you stand at Eros, it's amazing because you are right in the centre of the world, aren't you?
Well, we're just going to move up there now, exactly. We move a little bit forward north, we will, to where exactly Eros is. And we'll find out later that actually, is that the right name for this statue, Eros, or not?
Hang about, I always thought it was.
Well, that's what a lot of people thought it was, though. But I mean, if you actually look closely, is it an actual, just an angel? And then we're going to look at the Earl of Shaftesbury himself shortly, we are. A great, great man, who that monument, it's a memorial to that man. I mean, so we'll look at him shortly, but we're at that fountain now, Eros. Oddly enough, it's made of bronze. The actual Eros himself is made of aluminium. That is interesting, I think. But just if we look at the area now, what have we got? Regent Street, Lower Regent Street, the Haymarket, Piccadilly, Shaftesbury Avenue, and then when you bear round, you do the actual, because it used to be a proper circle, because it's not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a roundabout no more as such. But, and then you've got Coventry Street, which juts off. The area itself, obviously a big part of Westminster City Council. They've narrowed Coventry Street recently. I mean, it's part of their improvement programmes. They've shut a couple of streets off on Regent Street. Again, we'll talk about the Earl of Shaftesbury in a moment, and I think there is an element of chaos around this area. There always has been since I've driven a cab. I mean, the traffic jams you get here late at night are nothing to compare with what you see in the daytime.
And I think that sometimes people say it's because it's people who don't know the road that cause the problems. I actually think that here it's people that do know the road but are trying to get a quick one in there, and it can cause problems.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's also the vast amount of buses, it's the amount of illegality in the area, the mm-hmm. amount of illegal parking. I mean, that's what any of my colleagues will certainly tell you. Certainly southbound and northbound. I mean, there's bus lanes there, and there's just cars that park. I mean, like, literally all night. I mean, and park on bus stops, and it just creates chaos in the area.
Do you know what I love about Piccadilly Circus? It's the perfect London time machine, because most films that were filmed, you know, about London have got some footage of Piccadilly Circus. Yeah. And you see the way it's changed. And I mean, you think of films like Passport to Pimlico, that's got it in there, and or American Werewolf in London, you know, and you just see the change in face. And it has changed, as you said, remarkably, but it still stays the same, doesn't it? It's got, yeah. there's you know, the buildings will never change. You know, like,
and that monument, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about the memorial here, I mean, what we commonly known as Eros. Yeah. I mean, and that's probably what keeps it together.
If you took
that away, I don't think it would exist.
I can't get over the fact that Swan and Edgar aren't still there, you know. Mm. That's the name you haven't heard for years, isn't it? Well, Swan and Edgar.
I've yonks, I mean, yeah. To be honest with you, totally. But this is a busy junction.
Right.
I mean, well, I've mentioned Eros we have. We've mentioned Shaftesbury. Obviously, we've got Shaftesbury Avenue. But an interesting man, Lord Shaftesbury.
Who was he?
A philanthropist. I mean, this was a man who cared. I mean, an evangelical. So we're talking an Anglican. A man who really did care about people. Wasn't a big fan of how can I put this, unions and people getting together. But this man really did care. Now, just a quick bit about the monument. The sculptor was a chap called Alfred Gilbert, an Art Nouveau style, by the way. What you'll notice is lots of children and cherubs around it again. And then it's the young lad on top then. No, so we'll talk more about that near as we get on with it. But the Earl of Shaftesbury, who was he? Born in 1801, 1885, he lived till a little exponent in Victorian England of reform. This man, I think, was disgusted. His faith didn't allow him. He didn't like to see the thousands of poor children upon the streets. He didn't like the idea that children were forced up chimneys. He didn't like the fact that women and young men were forced down the mines. He entered Parliament. This guy did it in 1826. I mean, at the age of 25, he'd become a Conservative MP. Just shows you how well connected this man was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would have been a Lord then. He would have been anyway, because obviously the title. I mean, he took the title of he became the Earl of Shaftesbury in 1851.
He's got a school just around the corner here. The Raggedy School for...
There we go.
Yeah.
We're going to come up with this. The Ragged School Movement.
That's right.
And the Ragged School Movement was about... He used to witness, in London, thousands of children on the streets. And so he did something about it. He actually... He helped the homeless. He got them off the streets. He wanted to educate them. But he didn't like trade unions. Yet he helped people out of the mines.
Mm-hmm.
This is... I mean, he's a bit of a cliche. Had no time for organised labour movements. But he cared about the way people were treated. And what did he do then? I mean, this was... an amazing thing that this guy had done. He was really concerned with how the insane were treated. So he became chair of the Lunacy Commission. He was chair... And, then, you know, what's ironic now is the lunacy I see in Piccadilly Circus. Honestly, I do mean that.
Actually, thinking about Piccadilly Circus, about 30 years ago, I remember it, because that's when I first started... well, it's a bit earlier than that, about 35 years ago, that I first started hanging around down there when I was 16. But there was a period of time for about 10 years where from 11 o'clock at night it was Junkie Central, because there was that chemist there that would open up for the prescriptions at night time.
24 hours,
and it was Junkie Central.
Yeah. Now it's Boots, they don't open as late.
No.
I mean, it's but that's why it used to be well known, didn't it? Late night chemist, now the only other one is Old Brompton Road, 24 hour. That's the one that I'm in, literally, and that's okay, cause it's in a good borough. No, but it is. But you know, this guy, certainly, I mean, his name actually, I mean, it's what Anthony Ashley Cooper. You see, but you get known when you're in Overwood or your family are well connected. But what is important here is this was a Conservative MP, not what people think of a Conservative. Let's be honest, what people think, I mean, I don't think they're, you know, whether you like them or not, people vote Conservative, some people vote Labour or Liberal. But, you know, what we perceive a Conservative or an Earl to be, the ennobled, the landowners, what our perception is of them, when you consider that we've removed a number of them from the House of Lords. And yet here we see the great work, an individual who's moved to do it, who actually cares about his people, cares about his country. What did he do? He licensed the sweep, the chimney sweeps, 1875. He cared about the young men being stuck up, was disgusted at the way they were treated. This is a man who deserves that memorial. And yet most of us don't know what that memorial was about, and there it sits with all the traffic gyrating around it, moving, people just sitting there eating sandwiches and whatever. That's probably, again, one of the most photographed places in the world. And when you think what it actually stands for, about caring about others, about changing things, about changing, and this is an MP that changed the shape of the country. He changed the law. Do you know what? Where's his statue? I mean, in a sense, I mean, I'll probably find it somewhere in London, but
You know,
he made me shed a tear tonight when I started reading about it. I'll be honest with you, I was doing me a little bit tonight, you know, writing up about this guy, and you think, wow, this is a man.
Do you know, I reckon there's more chance of them putting up a statue of Paul Raymond than Shaftesbury. In fact, I wouldn't mind a statue of both of them.
Why not? I mean, Paul Raymond.
Paul Raymond, he bought the whole thing. I mean, he owned it all, didn't he, in the end?
Well, I sent him out of the Soho Review Bar now. I mean, it's still... I mean, he's left his mark, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Paul Raymond's review bar, wasn't it?
I mean, I worked in his building every day for nearly 2 years. I met him every single day for 2 years. He wasn't the friendliest bloke I've ever met in my life. But he left his mark on
Soho.
Yeah, and he had an awful lot of interesting house guests that used to turn up to his office. I'll put it like that. So, John, right, we're going to go up.
We're going to move up. Just quickly, though, just a couple of things that this guy done. He limited the working hours of women and children. He represented in Parliament a massive popular movement in Yorkshire and Lancashire. And he introduced the 10-hour Act of 1847, the Mines Act, which prohibited women and children going to work. Now, that statue of Eros, the Angel of Christian Charity, that's actually what it is known as, okay? Alfred Gilbert, we said, made that, okay? The Angel of Christian Charity. And it does sum up the Earl Shaftesbury himself. I think it's something to be, you know, looked at. Now, we're going to go up the treasure of this walk. This is an awkward junction, okay? So you've got Eros to your back. You're going to use the crossing. Please use the crossing and head to Regent Street. Don't walk up bigger than... if you see the rich, you're not on Regent Street, okay? That's all I'll say to you. So you cross over the crossing and you're going to bear slightly to your right. So you'll see boots to your right, but we're going to head up Regent Street. You can tell you're on Regent Street because there's a beautiful curve at the bottom here.
Do you know what? Whoever designed that was a genius. And whoever built it were, you know, steely-eyed construction men.
I'll tell you what it always reminds me of, especially around Christmas time, but even now, it's like a present in his Regent Street. When you walk or you drive that crescent, when you're on the top deck of a bus, I mean, you get brilliant views from a London cab, but every now and again, you do get exciting views from the top deck, the front, or either side of the bus, because you have to look up at these buildings to appreciate this nouveau classical, this Regency architecture. It was John Nash transformed this part of London, and we'll talk about him in a moment. But we're just walking up Regent Street. Hundreds of shops, I don't need to mention them. Look, we all know how to shop. That's what we're good at in Britain, or used to be good at.
But what's interesting about these shops is, I mean, apart from the likes of Hamleys, you know, like, which is the, you know, the big toy shop, you've got most of the big chains there, and there's also some interesting chains, like Apple's got a store there.
Yeah.
Ferrari have got a store coming up. And you've got a few, you know, like gift shops, you know, like tourist shops. But you've also got loads of really small specialist shops and specialist travel agents.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, this is run by Crown Estate, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they choose and decide what their tenants. They uphold. I mean, we'll talk about it shortly when we get to Oxford Circus. I mean, it's just completely different to, like, Oxford Street. Crown Estate have a standard, and you will maintain that standard.
Right.
And it's that simple. That's why the shops look dandy, fine, ornate, and they are mixed and well-balanced. And while you haven't got Vodafone, all the different names.
Well, if you walk up Oxford Street, it's completely different.
Yeah, completely commercial in the sense. I mean, Regent Street's commercial, but there's a standard. I mean, and they, and
but
they,
what's the difference? Is Oxford Street not Crown Estates then?
No, it's not Crown Estates.
Because that's so fascinating. Because if you walk down Oxford Street, and I don't mind saying it, Oxford Street has become a mess. It's an absolute mess. Yeah, apart from the big stores like, you know, your Selfridges and your Debenhams and your, you know, and those kind of big stores, and now the Primark, which takes up a prime position. You, as you said, you'll have three or four phone shops next to each other.
And well, we will. I mean, this is, and this is the, but you see, Regent Street shows, and it's like Marylebone shows, what you can do.
Yeah.
If you manage things properly. Where you can make a street successful, where you can make commerce good, where you can attract people in the open air, in the real world, rather than being under a dome.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest with you, nothing I like diving into a shop, but there's nothing I like better than diving out and then diving into a pub. Look, I've nothing wrong with going to a shopping centre. I mean, they're there, people use them. But I don't like the stale air.
Mm-hmm.
I get concerned that I'm in some sort of, you know, I feel like I'm going to take off any moment. It just, you know, it does worry me a bit. I like the fact that I'm going to have to put a brolly up, maybe. One day, or I can hail a cab, jump on a bus whenever I want. I like the buzz that Regent Street gives to me. But that bend at the bottom, that curve, it is like a present, Regent Street is.
Mm-hmm.
You see that curve, and when you hit that bend, bang, there it is in front of you. You know, and it is just one long straight line, and in the distance, like, you can just see your masses of traffic lights you can, and traffic, and buses, and cabs, and cars, and even those rickshaws or whatever, like, no, but, and then the mass of people walking across in front of you, left and right, up and down, people just staring at windows, there's something real about this, but then when you look up, you see architecture like you've never seen
before.
It's
like another world out there,
isn't it? It is another world.
But you know what, my favourite view of Regent Street, or my favourite vision of Regent Street, was taken from the top of one of those buildings when they had the Formula One cars down there doing their wheel spins. Do you know what? I think that was one of the proudest moments in London. I just thought it looked great.
It did look good. I mean, it's, you know, people pulling, you know, let's be honest, burning a bit of rubber.
Yeah, burning a bit of rubber.
Hearing an engine revving.
Yeah.
I mean...
yeah, well, like, and I thought myself, go on, straight down A-mark. See if you can catch the lights.
Yeah,
wouldn't even see him.
There's a speed camera in there.
Right, now, that curve, I mean, when they planned, you said it was Nash that built this.
Nash, yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, it's interesting what this guy's done. I mean, John Nash, an architect, I mean, again, a really, England, 18, I mean, was it, we're talking 1811 to 1830, when this really happened, it was, in this area, and that was under the reign of George, it was, like, basically. I mean, he himself was born in Lambeth, John Nash, in 1752, passed away in 1835, was bankrupt in the late 18th century, and then he came back to London after his bankruptcy to go to work. I mean, he was quite wealthy. I mean, his father was from Wales, but so he had to come back to work. And then what happened was the Prince Regent, who then became King George, started to notice his work, and then he was commissioned effectively to literally build this whole project from St James's up. I mean, this is phenomenal. I mean, and it is said the man who transformed London, because he did. I mean, because when you start from St James's, Lower Regent Street, you hit Piccadilly Circus, you hit this beautiful sort of... I mean, if you looked at it from above, it would look like a backward J, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, effectively, it's got that little curve at the bottom, Regent Street, if we look at it on a map, isn't it? Yeah, it does. It is a J, not a backward J, but it actually is just a bit of a J, it looks like, where it hits the circus. And then when you go on beyond it, and because next week we'll look at Portland Place and go into the park, we will, and head north... this man has left an absolute amazing mark upon London. And
what's interesting about Regent Street is, apart from Conduit Street, there's no, you know, between Oxford Circus and Piccadilly, apart from Conduit Street and maybe Great Marble Street, there's no real major roads off of it, are there?
No, well, we've got the little ones that some of us cab drivers use. I mean, Vigo Street takes us out into Regent Street. I mean, obviously, we've got Glasshouse, which leads you into Brewer. But again, Glasshouse will just throw you back. It does in the end, sort of like back towards Piccadilly Circus. Brewer will only give you a left turn into Wardour. I mean, Kingly Street now, which is really funny, which runs between Great Marble and Beak, because Beak is out of Soho onto Regent Street, so it's one way out. They've reversed the one way.
No,
that's quite nice though. It actually works really well. Being able to get into Great Marble Street if you're in that way now, or Noel Street, go forward Great Marble, chuck your left Kingly, get your right Beak, now you're back into Regent Street.
He's part of knowledge again,
yeah,
Ollie.
No, right. But it's quite a good move. I mean, Conduit Street, again, we call them orange and lemons when you look at a map. I mean, your orange and lemons are the ones that really, really matter what you need. Then you have your little ones in between that interconnect and allow us to do our little back doubles. And,
right.
And there's a little route through Soho. It's called the Dirty Dozen, 12 streets and rows that you can throw left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and then you're out. You're free. You're there. there.
And you showed me that once, and now I can do it too.
It's important, and it's, I always say, with Regent Street, what you've got, you've got the two Fs, fun and follocks. You mean you're fun in Soho? I mean, you got your fun in, you know, having a drink, whatever, in Mayfair, and then you have the follocks, you could say, going on in Soho in certain parts. It still exists. I'm sorry, it don't matter what they've done. There's still their modern lights about in a few places. There's still bars where there's, you know, like I said, the Soho Review Bar. Whatever's going on there. I mean, it's just, you know, the burlesque stuff and all that old life. Amazing, just brilliant.
I walk through Soho about 3 or 4 times a week, just because I love the buzz.
And you're now on the edge of theatre land, aren't you? I mean, when you look at Great Marlborough, you've got the Palladium, and you've got the Hanover Square. So, I mean, and we will at a later date go into Soho, and we will at a later date go into Mayfair in detail.
But we're on our way up to Oxford Circus,
now, and it is exactly what it is. It's just a big junction. It is like where there are masses of buses, masses of cabs, masses
of cars. And I love the whole. That's another one. If you looked at from above,
it is a circle.
It's a circle.
It is a circle. Yeah, you can just about land. The air ambulance has landed before, right in the middle, isn't it, at the junction?
Yeah,
that's actually landed. You can just about get the rotor blades down. You can.
And George Martin, after, you know, Sir George Martin, the Beatles producer, when he left EMI, he set up a studio right at the top floor. You know where Topshop is?
Yeah.
Which Nike World now, I believe.
Yeah, Nike World. That's correct.
The top floor of that building was a place called Air Studios, which is like was the number one studio in London, and it was beautiful because you could go up there and from the toilets, it was always the best. From the toilets, the view out onto that circus was just amazing. It's offices now, and it was these really old fashioned, you know, like porcelain toilets.
Well, when we've looked at Fleet Street and Paul's, exactly the same as Ludgate Circus. You actually see the curve in the building.
Yeah,
you see. I mean, and that's what's lovely about it—the fact you actually see the curve on the corners there. But as we talked about, you get to Oxford Street and it does change. You know, it just something doesn't
feel right.
Oxford
Street's a mess. Regent Street is an absolute diamond. Oxford Street's been a mess for about 10 years now.
Yeah, I've had dealings with the new whatever company. I mean, and you know, I spoke to their secretary, the secretariat there. I mean, she's a good lady. You know, I mean,
what can they do though? There's all those shops got long leases. There's also the shops where they have people in there. Put your hand up if you got a fiver, and then suddenly they come and take your fiver away from you.
Well, they're going to over time change all that. Mm. That's going to some of these. I mean, I don't want to see the street traders go. I mean, I like the idea of people selling fruit and veg. I mean, maybe you need to redesign the stalls. Maybe you see, that's the trick.
I'd get Camden in Oxford Street.
Huh?
I'd get Camden in Oxford Street. You know all those shops in Camden? Have them down Oxford Street.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, look at the Selfridges building. I mean, it's. You couldn't get a more ornate, fine, beautiful looking thing, and yet somehow you look at some of the 1960s. Although some are coming down. This is the good news. Some
well, opposite Selfridges
down.
Or the block next to it, that's all completely down. Yeah.
No horrible 1960s.
Do you know what's going to go there?
No, I mean, but something a lot. Of hope
I tell you what, it's not going to be coming up in a rush. I mean, like, they knocked it down pretty quick, and then suddenly they started to slow
but
down.
But we need to declutter. Mm-hmm. I mean, Regent Street isn't cluttered. If you look at it, Regent Street allows taxis and buses and cars and people to go about their business. Oxford Street has restricted people, put too many buses down the road, too much congestion. It doesn't work. And it's congested the area. So that's part of the TfL, I think, have got a big role to play here. Certainly my industry, you know, we need access to Oxford Street. I don't think that's something we're going to give up lightly, crossing it, using it, going up and down it. I know others see different. We've had Christian Woolmar, wasn't it? I mean, he's a big authority in transport.
Going back to Selfridges, you know Harry Selfridge, the bloke who started that? Do you know that, and this is still there to this day, there's a secret lift that he used to have where he used to get, you know, like any ladies that he wanted, you know, to take to his office to show, you know, his prize etchings.
Pen collection.
Yeah, his pen collection. By the way, Bill the cabbie says he's never done the dirty dozen in a cab without, because you can't do it without power steering. But there again, he used to be a strong man, but since he turned 100, he's just lost his powers. And Omar's just called it, although he said his name was Frank, and he said he wants to know why, after Christmas, you only sung one verse of My Way. Can I answer that for him?
You can.
Because of taste and decency, Omar, that's why.
The windows.
Yeah.
The windows. But we've crossed the circus, and what you'll see now in the distance, and this is another one of Ash's finest examples, John Nash's final examples of his architecture, is the All Souls Church, the Church of All Souls. This stands out. The spire, the rotunda, the columns on the front. I mean, it's, what's odd about it is you've got this church, which is sort of like Langham Place, All Souls Place there, because we're going to stop there, George, this week, because then we'll move on. what it's all about, it's just this, it is a spike, isn't it? It's a cone. It's a real spiky traffic cone just sitting on the top. This was berated when it was first built. People didn't like this when it was first built. They complained like they do about a lot of architecture now. But
well, they can just shut up then, can't they?
But the picture of it, though, once you see it, you know, once you cross that junction with Oxford Circus, you see it in the distance, especially at night, and it's that beautiful yellowy, you know, goldeny, sort of like sandstone-y colour. And this is amazing. And behind it, then, you'll see the new development of the BBC.
Which is where we're going to, Wally!
Right, no, okay. But what you will notice, what's important is the inverted transmitting cone, isn't it? You, like, actually, I mean, it's, you know, the old twist.
Exactly. Now, do you think that that's a design fault? Because it's like, we're worried about whether the faders will go the right way. And if you turn it up, it'll turn the water on. We're not sure yet.
Everything's inverse.
There's top people there. John, I'm looking forward to next week. Are you going to talk a little bit about Broadcaster House as well?
We will. Then we're going to talk about Broadcaster House, some of the monuments in Portland.
Do you know some,
of the front doors in Portland Place? Because there are some beautiful...
Looking forward to that, but you know the broadcast now. Some of those walls are 12 foot thick.
Oh, come on, believe.
Nah, they because it's Ambon proof or something. It was built, you know, was to be able to, you know, to stand up for it. Luckily, it was never hit. John, as ever, a real pleasure.
Short
to talk
walk,
to
but an interesting walk. Two great men to be mentioned with. Other things that Nash did: Trafalgar Square, St James's Park, Haymarket Theatre, Church of All Souls. Just talked about Chester Terrace, Carlton House Terrace, Cumberland Terrace, and we'll see them. We will next week in Regent's Park also.
And if anybody wants to, you know, get more about this walk or see some photographs, they can go to where?
freelondonevents.co.uk, and we got all the museum ones are up. Not the photographs, because you've got to go in really to appreciate them.
Okay.
But the podcasts are up. Big picture of the museums from the outside. And then I've got a couple of scripts coming up for this week's talk and last week's talks, with the podcasts will be up. We've got last week's already up. It will be
lovely.
Up tomorrow, hopefully.
Okay, so that's freelondonevents.co.uk. .co.uk. John the Cabbie, thank you very much indeed.
God bless.
Are you going to go with this? Because I know that Omar wants to... Right, let's do it in harmony. Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. Thanks a lot, John. And this is my manner. When we go up there, as we get to Devonshire Street, maybe a quick... No, we'll leave it at that. And talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. Sounded a bit punk rock there, Roy, but you know what? I think we'll go with it because it was real. Okay, people know this is going out live. Talk the walk with John the Cabbie, BBC 94.9. What do you mean we're not in tune? We're not trying to be the two tenors. I mean, we've only got that £8.50 between the two of us, mate. Oi! Right, you are tuned to BBC London 94.9, right.